WrestleMania XL was the biggest WrestleMania of all time. In the first of a two-part episode, Creative Control take a look back at WrestleMania 40 Night 1 as we review and score each match on the card out of 5 stars. I'm your host, Kenan, and welcome to Creative Control, the entertainment podcast.
Acknowledge me!
Hello and welcome to Creative Control, the entertainment podcast, and for the last time under its current name, The Squared Circle. Joining me today from the Creative Control team, we have Neil, Rax and Nick, and joining us as special guest for this episode, we have Alex. Welcome, everyone.
Good evening. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here again.
Absolutely. Alex, so thank you for joining us, our special guest. Alex, tell us about yourself. How did you find us and why do you want to talk about WWE?
So I found you guys through TikTok. I've done a bit of podcasting before, but motorsport for F1 related podcasts. And I like the atmosphere and the ethos of you guys on it. And I was like, can I come and talk about wrestling? Because none of my friends are into wrestling. So, yes. And my wife just rolls her eyes every time I mention it. So despite the fact she will sing Cody Rhodes' theme tune along with my kids. So it's just nice to come and talk to like-minded people who are of the same age and it's not just children talking. Yes. About men wrestling in pants, and we can just get on with it. It's great fun.
Yes. Absolutely, that's what we are here for. No, it's a real pleasure to have you on, and thank you for reaching out. And that's exactly what happened with Nick, and he just became a regular instantly. He was just like,
I just kept coming every week.
Yeah, it's just like, I've got more stuff to say. Yeah, that's it. He's here now. They're, you know, part of the furniture. So, what we're talking about today's show, we are going to be covering WrestleMania XL. We're going to be reviewing the show night one and night two. We're going to go through every match, talk about the highs and lows, and how we felt about it all, basically. And we'll cover a little bit about Raw as well, the Monday after WrestleMania. We're going to go through our original predictions, see how close we were. And see who came out on top. So the reigning defending champion on our predictions at the moment is Neil. He scored highest on the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. We'll see if he's still standing tall at the end of this episode. As I mentioned at the beginning, we are going to be looking to do a name change for the show. And we've been going around with different names for a couple of weeks now because we put out the Square Circle, didn't really think about it. And then we decided to start looking at a new logo. And Nick did a quick search. And he was like, do you know how many podcasts there are called the Square Circle on Apple? I was like, no idea, actually. I was like, okay. So we kind of need to differentiate ourselves a little bit from everybody else there. So we started coming with lists of names, going back, checking what was taken, what wasn't taken. And we came up with a shortlist, which we then put out onto Twitter to get a Twitter poll. And I'm going to bring out the list here. So we came up with a shortlist of four, which was In Your House, New Wrestling Order, Bitching About Wrestling, and World Wrestling Podcast. So, and it's funny, the Bitching About Wrestling one was just a line I tagged on because I mentioned someone was bitching about wrestling. And Nick was like, that's a great name for the show. I'm like, add it to the list. Let's go. So, in terms of the votes, with 8% of the vote, it was In Your House, which I thought would be higher.
You know why it's not higher?
Mm-hmm.
Because all the people listening to us are a lot younger than we are.
Yeah, that's true. They don't remember In Your House. Doesn't mean anything. With 17% of the vote, we had World Wrestling Podcast, WWP. With 25% of the vote, we had NWO New Wrestling Order. But with 50% of the votes, it was Bitching About Wrestling.
Yes. Which, if you look at any social media, that's all they ever do.
A bunch of Cody crybabies over here. So we're going to just bitch about anything that we want wrestling wise. And I think that's going to stick. I think we've been like, it's been on the precipice there. We've been talking about it. Should we pull the trigger on it? The people have spoken. So we are now Bitching About Wrestling. So we are Creative Control, Bitching About Wrestling. Nick has already been working on the logo. So as Triple H said, it is a new time. It is a new era. So we're going to be launching with a new era as well. Bitching About Wrestling podcast by Creative Control. Amazing. So Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for being here. As always, you can catch a video version of this podcast on YouTube and Spotify, and you can catch the audio version on any major podcast platform. We are anywhere. If you like the show or not, give us a like. You know, it only takes 30 seconds out of your day, and share the content. You know, look, you know, whether it's a positive thing, looking, these guys make a lot of sense, or these guys are just bitching about wrestling and haven't got a clue. So
that's where it came from last week, wasn't it?
That's it. That was it. Just guys bitching about wrestling.
Remember where it came from, but that was it.
All I have to do is get a screenshot of the text and then frame that, and that's like, that's where the podcast show name came up from. So right, guys, WrestleMania, what I'll do, I'm just gonna go around the room first, kind of get your overall feelings about it. We won't go into any detail, but did you think it was amazing? Was it great? Was it okay? Was it average? Did it meet expectations or not? Alex, as I guess I'm going to start with you, what was your overall feeling coming out of WrestleMania XL?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great. I'm a positive guy, so you know, I often see lots of people moaning about various different things, and I often try and just see the positive side of things, despite we're now bitching about wrestling. But I loved it. I think the way it flowed from night one to night two was brilliant. It was a slow build from the start, and night one wasn't as good as night two. I mean, it was never going to be as good as night two, but even if you take the two main events away, it still wasn't as good as night two. I definitely felt like it built, and there was a story going forward, which it felt like it had some direction, which in the Vince McMahon stuff, it just seemed to be all over the place. With this, you could literally see the story building. You know, you guys talked about in the previous shows about it being Endgame and related to the Marvel movies, and that's kind of how it feels like it would build. And it was just brilliant to see. I thoroughly enjoyed it, thoroughly entertained.
Yeah, absolutely. Rax, what were your thoughts of WrestleMania?
Yeah, I loved it too, to be honest with you. I was actually thinking, like, when was the last time I actually enjoyed WrestleMania the way I enjoyed XL the other night? Okay. I mean, I can't actually remember, like, the last time I actually felt invested throughout the whole show, kind of thing. And I think they've hit the nail on the head with a lot of things. I mean, first, because they had it in Philly, so I mean, you know, they had a lot of the, like, kind of like Rocky undertones to a lot of the matches. Yes. A lot of underdogs going over and stuff like that, and they just really hit the feels really with the emotions as well with a lot of the matches. You know, I felt like while I was watching it, like, I was literally getting goosebumps in some of the matches, you know what I mean? It's like, you know when you get the results of some of them, which we're going to delve into, but I got the feels for it. And it's just really, and I'm really looking forward to the new era now. So honestly, like, I'm actually more excited about it. And hopefully try to get my wife on board this year. So let's just see if she'll...
try again. Every year, got to try again.
Yeah, you got to try. You get up, you try again.
I think, I would agree. And I think from a producing aspect, you know, they've done a fantastic job, and they are getting some other talent in to produce the matches. I think it was Bobby Roode who did the final night two match. Yeah. You know, he produced that, which was, you know, great. And it's brilliant to see some other stuff. I love the production values they got going on at the moment with the camera work, you know, different entrances, moving from scene to scene, and the transitional shots that they're doing now is great. I love the stuff coming from behind the curtain, seeing what the wrestlers see with the audience and that kind of impact. There's some really great stuff going on at the moment. Nick, what was your thoughts on WrestleMania overall?
I mean, I'm just going to copy everybody else. I loved it. It was great. It's the first WrestleMania I've watched live since The Rock versus Cena. So I got into it about a year ago, Money in the Bank. Yeah. I got back into it. So this felt massive anyway. I got to watch it. Bad dad moment. Got to watch it with my 9-year-old and my 11-year-old. Probably shouldn't have kept them up that late, but we did. But watching them watch it and experience it felt massive to me, but it felt massive to them as well. And again, when Cody won on night two, just the looks on their faces, it was just like proper like hero moment. It was amazing. Nice. I thought night one was great. It was solid. Mm-hmm. But night two was just like a whole other level.
Yeah.
Like literally everything all the way through. But yeah, really enjoyed it. And like you guys said, really excited. It felt like a fresh start. It felt like a new era going forward. Not just Cody either. Not just Cody, you know, taking Roman's championship, but the whole thing, even down to the new Together Forever intro, it just all feels like it's on a whole other level now, and that continued in Raw after Mania as well, but I'm sure we'll talk about that later. But yeah, absolutely, definitely. Yeah, fantastic, loved it.
Yeah, Triple H getting his voiceover work on that new intro as well. So his voice on there, which was really interesting.
Triple H era, isn't it?
It is. He's really taking
the Triple H era, or is it the Paul Levesque era?
Because
they've said both.
they keep referring him now more to Paul, definitely. So
yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
From the Hall of Fame ceremony, and Paul Heyman referring him to he's a Paul Levesque guy, and they're introducing him again more now as Triple Paul Levesque H almost. It's like so they're really more embracing that. Yeah. And I was really surprised actually Stephanie coming out on night two.
Something amazing.
And stamping her authority on that era as well. That was a real big surprise. And there's a lovely moment where they showed on WWE Online where they showed Paul Levesque, Triple H, watching her in the ring.
Yeah.
She's like giving him his praise, the smile on his face, and they embraced after she came back from the curtains. It's just some lovely stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Hall of Fame. I mean, I know we're not talking about Hall of Fame today, but that Paul Heyman speech.
Oh, amazing.
He is one of the best things I've ever seen. There's no one better on the mic.
No,
nobody.
There isn't. And he is he is the most watched Hall of Fame, I think, of all time as well, especially that particular segment. he didn't give a shit. I mean, no. I actually felt kind of I felt kind of sad for his son when he's just like, I sit there, dad's like, Jesus Christ, are you calling me out on the show? I'm just like, wow.
But that's why that's why it felt like a new era as well, because again, I've only been watching it back into it for like a year, but I've sort of dipped into it over the last few years, and it's all felt very PG. Clearly, it's been a massive departure from the Attitude Era, but we're getting back into it. I mean, how many times, you know, how many F-bombs did The Rock drop on night two? Do you know what I mean?
The guy's like, sweating there with the mute button. He's just like,
exactly. It's just not something that happened. And then like Paul Heyman telling you to suck his fucking dick at the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's Hall of Fame. It's like supposed to be really nice and tame.
When he said that, did you see Cody look over at Triple H?
Definitely.
Is he allowed to say this?
Yeah, Randy Orton stood up and he was just like,
I know.
Bubba Ray was applauding in the aisle.
Yeah,
so good.
So good. Neil, what are your thoughts on WrestleMania overall?
Oh, man. I mean, I really didn't like it. Because I loved it.
I was about to kick you off the podcast. I know it's bitching about wrestling, but...
No, I absolutely loved it. The thing is, I know we keep saying that night one wasn't as good as night two, but I think for me, I look at it like I look at it like Kill Bill 1 and 2. It was, you don't get the ending unless you see the beginning. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying night one was bad. I still think night one was better than most other pay-per-views they've done over the last few years. But it was just a case of
two was at such a different level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's just like it was. You know what it was? It was everything you wanted and more. And there were changes. There were things that like everybody under the sun was predicting, and I know some of those things people got right. Some of those things people did not get right.
There was still stuff we didn't expect, absolutely.
And, you know, there was stuff we didn't expect. It was just like, this is wrestling. And, you know, I think it was the realization. It's been going this way for a little while, but it was the realization, I think, for WWE, maybe now that, you know, He Who Shall Not Be Named is gone. It felt like
he'd love being referred to like that.
I feel like what's happened now is it's the realization that wrestling in general has a very kind of specific fan base, and the champions of that era reflect the audience. John Cena being the champion of his era when he was, you know, champion after champion after champion after champion, it was John Cena. That was the time when you needed it to kind of be PG and a little bit more family friendly. And as much as we kept, you know, as much as they kept a lot of that aesthetic, Roman becoming champion, this whole kind of bloodline era, it was, no, do you know what? our audience is older. Our audience that was there for the whole John Cena period of time, they've grown up. You know, they've grown up. They're of the age where, you know what? Like, if you really feel that way, an F-bomb might be the way to go.
Mm-hmm. They can deal with a more mature storyline. It's like the Toy Story movies. All the other Toy Story movies were made for the people who were kids when Toy Story 1 was made.
Yes. You have to grow with your audience.
That's how it all moves across. You know, you watch Toy Story 4 compared to Toy Story 1. They're entirely different types of films, but it's because it's made for the people who are now in their 30s who were watching it when they were kids. And that's exactly what you said, Neil. That's the way it kind of works across the stage of it, which is it's now a much more mature product. So moving away from the PG era is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about timing and pulling the trigger at the right time, and like you say, it's culminated in this and that, and the Bloodline story has just been phenomenal. And you know, it's funny that there's actually a generation of fans right now who've only ever known Roman as their champion. So there's been videos on TikTok, because he's been over champion for over like 3 years, there's kids now, like, it's something completely new to them, seeing a different champion. And that kind of blows my mind, because you know, we grew up in an era where it would change every few months. You know, you'd have title switches all the time.
When the WWE title changed hands on a SmackDown in
can you imagine
right
now? And now it seems to be the length of reign rather than number of times. That seems to be what they're focusing on now. Because before it was like 10-time champion, 16-time champion, but now it's how many days. And they just want more longevity to those title reigns than just quick handovers and quick changeovers. And
it makes it more important.
Yeah, I did love the fact that Drew McIntyre referred to Damian Priest as a transitional champion.
Oh, that was so good. It's like words you're not supposed to say.
I mean, he's not wrong, let's be honest, but yeah.
Yes.
Because you know what I love? I have to say what I love about the change with that, as in it not being titles, not being how many times you've been champion, it's how long was your reign.
Mm-hmm.
It's because... if you're the champion, if you've been the champion 17 times, it means you lost it 16 times.
Always felt that way, right? Always felt that way.
And I'm like, ain't no way. I'm looking at you thinking you lost this coveted title 16 times, and I'm worried about what you're going to do to me.
Yeah. If you're like, Austin hardly ever held a title for any decent period of time.
Yes. When you think about it, like, The Rock's been champion, I think, 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin's been champion 5 times.
Yeah. Yeah, so absolutely.
One of the biggest stars in the industry.
Yeah. And like, The Rock's never won a title at a main event in WrestleMania. It's like, when you think about that, it's like crazy. It's so,
I hadn't thought that.
Yeah, it's really strange.
You really wanted to wild out, right? The Rock has won exactly one main event
Steve Austin
at
18.
No. One main event, one closing show, actual closing main, show, event, main match, event. He has won one, and it was the one that we just saw. Right?
Was the Austin Rock match not the main event?
He didn't win it. Oh no, the final one he did wasn't the main event. It wasn't
the one he won wasn't the main event.
I literally would only think
Austin
that.
Rock 3 wasn't.
It's been a long time since seen that.
So it's in fact, sorry, I'm totally incorrect. He's won 2 matches. John Cena won.
Yeah, I was going to say, beat Cena at WrestleMania, isn't he?
Yeah, and that was the main event. So John Cena won, and against Seth and Cody.
That's nuts.
And Rock is older now than what Hulk Hogan was when he faced The Rock, when you had Rock and Hogan.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
A year older?
A year older. I think Hogan was 50 and like Rock's 51. And it's just like that turner. It's just mental.
Steroids, isn't it, man?
Are we all impressed with the fact that after The Rock was blowing after 2 minutes of beating up Jinder Mahal, that he was absolutely awesome.
He was in
that match.
Definitely have to give him props. He said he did a 12-week training camp for WrestleMania, and it showed. He looked fantastic. He did look smaller. He looked slimmed down. He was definitely...
which was weird because he weighed more.
It was strange the way the bulk was working. But he wasn't gassed. He went through the whole match, and I think there's just one slip, but I think one slip where he kind of did the stomp and then he turned around and hit his head on the rope. But other than that, he was just, it was kind of flawless. So we'll go into that. So let's start talking about the matches. The first match, night one. So we had the Women's World Championship, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. And a solid start. Like you say, the crowd was great. The Rhea Ripley's intro was really freaky with that guy screaming down the camera at me. But he kind of grabbed your attention. I thought it was Rhea to start with. I was like, oh, hang on. No. And I thought it was a great match. Had a good pace. As Alex mentioned, you know, she was ill, and they mentioned on commentary that she'd had a fever, and I think you could tell that. I think, you know, we would have had a few more spots in the match if it maybe wasn't for that, but I think, you know, she was quite tired through that. But
she was definitely off a beat, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. But you know, we all picked Ripley. And the only person who didn't get the finish right was Neil. He went for a submission. The rest of us went for a pinfall. And so full marks across the board there. So there wasn't really any doubt to this, was there? There's no doubt to the outcome of this, because we all expected Becky to take some time off, promote her book. It was really weird seeing her book promoted as she come out. That was a bit weird. But Rax,
seeing
what were your thoughts?
Pages on her ring gear was weird.
Yeah, it was,
yeah,
it was the pages,
right? Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the pages on it, yeah.
Rax, what did you think of the match?
It was a solid start to the show. I mean, it was decent. I liked it. It didn't intrigue me as much, but it's probably because of the points that you guys made. She was probably skipping a beat here and there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, honestly, even for her to have like to go out there and still to do it, you know what I mean? It's just like, I wouldn't even known that. I mean, just because we know behind the scenes that, you know, she's done well, and they mentioned it on commentary, whatever, but if you don't know that and you're just in the audience, you're just thinking, all right, cool, she's just having a wrestling match. I mean, like, when I get a fever, I'm like toddler mode. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I can't even get out of bed.
Well, man flu is a completely different thing. We all know that.
Oh, yeah.
Much worse.
Yeah, no, 100%. But, I mean, for her to go out there and stuff like that, but, I mean, I just kind of felt like with the match, I mean, it was a decent start to WrestleMania. It kind of set the tone for the rest of the evening. I liked it, yeah. I mean, it was generally quite good. Wouldn't call it exactly memorable. I would say it wasn't my most memorable match that was on the card. Decent start to it. I have a feeling we may not see Becky for a little while. I don't know. I'm just getting that vibe, right? So
yeah.
So I mean, it was interesting because she was kind of advertised on the video package they did for the draft. So yeah, I don't know if she's just maybe not going to be wrestling for a while, but I do expect a little bit of time away. Seth, I expect to be off camera
I think she's going to do that kind of like Phoenix rising from the ashes kind of thing. You know, she's going to obviously hate the loss. She's going to come back for it. It was a decent start. Yeah, let's just say that. Yeah, I mean, it got me gassed in it for the rest of the night. So I was like, okay, cool. You know?
Okay. Well, we're going to start giving some ratings to our matches as we do our pay-per-views now. So, Rax, you're going to be the first one up to give me a 5-star rating. So, what are you going to give Rhea versus Becky?
Probably a 3, honestly. Probably say a 3. Like I said, it didn't stand out to me as much as I wanted it to. I was expecting more. But, it's decent. I mean, 3 stars, I think, is fair.
Yeah, 3 stars. All right, cool. Neil, going to come over to you. What did you think of the first match?
It's going to sound like I didn't like it, because I'm going to say it was serviceable. It did everything it needed to do. It reminded you this was WrestleMania from Rhea's entrance, and it was the star. It was the tantalus, you know, it got you interested. It was like, okay, ooh, I'm going to be here for an event. It was like, I think because of the nature of the match, it wasn't a match where I felt in any way, shape, or form that Rhea was in danger of losing her title. So every time I saw like a spot and Becky went for a pin, I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
And so unfortunately, there was a little tiny bit of me kind of just like, okay, I'm this is paint by numbers, I'm waiting
with complacency in the match outcome.
Yes. But for her to have a 102 or 107 fever. Right, for her to be handling business like that with 107 fever, I'm like, I'm sorry, I've seen people with a 90 something fever and, you know, like out of blinking action. Is hard work for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to see her just still out there going full Regalian, I was impressed.
Yeah, big props. Nick, how'd you find it?
Yeah, it was fine. It was good. It was I've used the word already, but it was a solid match. But I don't think I really. It wasn't until I realised that somebody sort of said Becky's not well that it all sort of clicked into place.
Yeah,
do you get what I mean? It's like for anybody else, it would have just been a standard match. It would have been a good match as well. Mm-hmm. But Becky's normally a lot bigger, a lot louder. And now that you know that she wasn't well, you can see it more clearly that there was something slightly out of place. Yeah. With her on that match.
It was Rhea who was sick.
It was Becky.
It was Becky.
Strep throat.
Strep throat.
Becky.
You may be good.
Yeah, she's all right. Yeah, don't worry. Don't panic. But do you know what? The only thing I would say, and I think you guys have hit the nail on the head, it was the predictability of that match. It's like nobody went into that match thinking for one second Rhea's gonna lose that title. So the only thing that I would have maybe done differently would potentially have been to switch that match up with the Sami Zayn Gunther match, have Sami open the show, just so that you could see Sami win, and then you go, wow, anything goes this weekend.
Anything could happen.
Yeah, because that was probably the only one that I went in thinking it's more predictable than Rhea winning is Gunther to retain that title. Mm. So if you'd open the weekend with Gunther losing the title, I'd have just been like, right, anything can happen now. Yeah, Cody cannot win this. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Anything's up for grabs.
That's
the only sort of critique I would have given it.
All right. Actually, I need to come back to Neil in just a second. But Nick, do you want to give me your match score? What are you going to give it?
I give it a 3 as well.
Okay. Yeah. Neil, what was your score?
Considering I now know that, again, knowing that Becky was ill, I'm going to give her an extra half. So I said 3.5.
Okay. So generous.
Pulling off a wrestling match. How long was that match? 15 minutes?
Probably about
17.
So imagine that in that cold ass Philadelphia air.
Yeah, it was really cold.
It was outside stadium.
Cold
ass Philadelphia air. And you got 107 fever, strep throat, and you are putting in that performance?
Mm.
I can't give you no regular score.
Yeah. Can't even put in sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you're just going to have to do it.
Well, when Cody can turn up with a busted...
How you feeling? Oh, I'm fucked. We're like, bullshit.
yeah, exactly. I was going to say, Cody with his torn pec, you know, anything, and you got to show up. So,
yeah, there's no excuse now to not turning unless you literally can't physically drag yourself to the ring.
Yeah, Cody's unfortunately set a standard for everybody now when it comes to the wellness. Yeah. Exactly. Alex, what did you think of the match?
I thought it was exactly what it was going to be, which was. Mm. Rhea extending her dominance of what is a really good title reign. She has not shown any weakness at all across her whole reign, which is also really good and what you want from a top champion. At the moment, she's got the Roman Reigns effect on that belt, which is great to see because of titles that do get thrown around a lot. The women's titles were always the ones that just got bounced around and had no importance. Now, whoever comes along, be it Liv Morgan after Monday night, whoever takes that title is going to have earned it, and it's going to be an important title victory. She's not just going to lose it through some happenstance. You could definitely tell that Becky was off a step just because there wasn't many of the high spots that they'd normally be. So it was a much less spotty match. But it was the kind of match you want to start the show because both of them have got mega entrances. Both of them were going to get mega pops from the crowd and just get them elevated because they're two of the biggest stars in the game. So like everybody else, I'll give it a 3. I'll give it an extra 0.2 for Becky.
For Becky, right. Okay.
For Becky. And funnily enough, yesterday I downloaded her book. So I'm listening to her book at the moment, which is really good. And she reads it, which is also even good.
Oh, interesting.
She reads it and does accents of other people that she meets across the way. So it's quite funny.
Oh, that sounds intriguing, actually. Yeah.
I listen to a lot of audiobooks, but I will only listen to autobiographies. And it's only if the author actually reads their own
results. Right. Okay.
It was a solid start. It could have been a 4. It was never going to be more than that because we know. However, I really liked Neil's idea. It should have actually finished in a submission, especially because she was sick. It would have been like, oh, she keeps kicking out. Right, I'm just going to have to ground her into the ground and lap a submission.
I would have liked Neil's finish where she kind of just, where she passes out rather than gives up. So, I would have dug that finish, I'm going to give it a 3.5. So it's the extra 0.2 is for Becky and fighting through her. The extra 0.3 is for Mammy, just because she's Mammy. Okay, let's move on to the second match. We've got the six-pack ladder match. So the predictions obviously going into this, where they're going to split the tag titles. It was pretty evident as soon as we saw them hanging from the ring either side. And Neil called it out, but I think it was about 6 months ago. But Alex?
Can I mention something before we go into the six-pack challenge? The pretty deadly skit.
Amazing.
Oh, yes.
It was so, I remember it being hilarious. It was so early in the morning, I can't remember what happened. But when I just remember laughing all the way through it.
The DIY bit, when they were like, their father and son? No. Other's fathers?
Yes. I love the fact that they embrace the whole DX thing as well. The design, the titles and everything, which was fantastic. But spot on, that pretty deadly thing was, that was very funny. And actually,
that gets 5 stars from me.
Yeah, the wife was still up with me watching at that time, and she was looking and goes, it's really weird hearing them in those accents talking. So she was really confused. She's like, I think he's like all American wrestlers. I was like, no, they have British wrestlers. They have different accents here. And she found that quite amusing, and she doesn't know nothing about wrestling. So fair play to them. And I think they were quite unfortunate not to be on the card. There was talk about whether they should have been on there maybe rather than A Town Down Under, which I would have been fine with. I would have been fine with them not being on the show. But hey, we are where we are. But everybody predicted Awesome Truth and A Town Down Under, except for Rax. He thought New Catch Republic were going to take it for the SmackDown titles, and I wouldn't have had a problem with that. And I think because of the recent rivalry with the Judgment Day, I could have seen that happening. But I think they were definitely going to go for that face and heel, split. So you had one of each. And then in terms of predictions, we were also talking about some other spots. So I thought R-Truth was going to end up holding one of each. Obviously, that didn't happen. But we then also said which titles are going to be taken first. Mm-hmm. So Nick and I both went for Raw, then SmackDown. But Neil predicted correctly. SmackDown went first and then Raw. So he got an extra point there. And Ryan thought there was going to be a Balor and Priest argument, which was going to maybe set some rumblings up for the Judgment Day, but that hasn't happened. They're as strong as ever. So, I thought it was a great match. There's some really great spots. There seemed to be some really ropey ladders in this. They didn't seem as solid as normal. There was the one point where Priest was going up and you had the female referee grabbing his legs saying, no, don't go on that ladder. It's not going to survive. And every time someone kept climbing up, I was like, oh, that's going to come down. And I think they're wooden ladders now, mainly the safety painted of them. And obviously they're spray painted. So when you split, you see them orange. It's like, could have maybe done something more with the paintwork, but hey, it is what it is. At the end of the day, it's for their safety and their protection. But there were some fantastic spots in that match. It's again some really good storytelling throughout. I love the DX bit from DIY. Mm-hmm. That was great, and the right result, I think, across the board. So, Alex, I'll come to you first. What did you think of the match? And give me your star rating.
I thought it was so much fun. Obviously noticed the DX bit, but also New Day came out as Rocky and Apollo
Creed. Rocky and Apollo.
Yes.
Which was also very cool to see, which I loved. Why did the Judgment Day come out in weird masks?
That was really weird.
I was like, Finn has
come out in masks before.
Yes.
I don't know why Priest was in the mask, but Finn has come out in masks before. So I'm like, I saw his mask and I was like, okay. And then I saw Damien and I was like, okay. Yeah.
Did you hear
me? Something you get from the pound shop or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
like, Nick, what did you say? Sorry?
Did you hear Corey when Finn came down? He said he looks like he's about to evaporate all the water in Gotham.
I didn't hear that. That's brilliant. But to be fair, for me, the two spots was the air raid crash from the ladder.
Oh yes.
I was like, no,
don't
no,
do it. Don't. It. Yeah.
Wrestling's fake, everybody. No, it's fucking not. Exactly. And that DDT from the apron through the table.
Yeah. Yes.
That was just bonkers. I honestly, I know stuff is rigged to break. I don't understand how people are alive after some of these things. I literally had to hide through some of those. But I when listening to you guys do the predictions, I had New Catch Republic as well. I thought mm-hmm. we might get a break from some heels, but actually having a face and a heel champion actually makes more sense when you think about it. R-Truth was always going to be the one to take the end of the match, always, because ever since he came back, he has been the comic relief MVP of the entire production. And I adore him. We got a hot tag, we got a pin.
Oh, the hot tag is amazing. we got
the moves of doom from his childhood hero John Cena. I absolutely loved it. Annoyingly, when I was rating these, when I was watching it, I was doing out of 10. So I gave it an 8 out of 10.
Trying to do
So I'm going to give this a 4. I'm going to give this a 4 out of 5. I absolutely...
Yeah. Okay, great. No, solid. Nick, what did you think?
Boss, it was just exciting. It was mental. Mm. There was too much going on, but in a fantastic way. Yeah. All the spots that you guys have said, there was just constantly something. It wasn't just a wrestling match. It was just spot. Just a little entertainment bits. What we thought had happened to a degree. Mm-hmm. I think it's 100% the right decision, splitting those tag titles. There's just not enough titles around. We won't get into women's titles. So they definitely needed to split them. I think 100% they've gone the right way. We need a face and a heel. And I think Theory and Waller are definitely the way to go with it. I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
All it was a really good match. Really enjoyed it. Yeah. What rewatchability as well. I feel like I could go back and watch it and see loads of things that I didn't notice the first time.
That's true. And that's probably one match I would go back and rewatch, actually, because like you say, there's so much going on that there's stuff that you would have probably missed and not appreciate. So, definitely. Neil, thoughts?
Oh, I loved it. It was a great match. Absolute great match. I think I have to point out one thing, one spot which did not go as planned.
Okay.
Was Xavier Woods' elbow from the top rope.
Yeah, right across the ring.
Right across the ring onto the ladder.
Yes.
I hate when I see a move go and the ladder doesn't break there's a couple of times when I've seen it, like a few spots recently where people have done something to go through the announce table and it doesn't break.
Oh, Cody with all those crossroads on JD.
Yeah. When people break. It's like when people say, like, oh, wrestling is fake. Like any good wrestling fan, I get a little offended. I think, no, it's not fake. It's scripted.
Yes.
But my thing is, when a spot doesn't go the way it's supposed to, the pain those bodies are going through is a disgrace.
Yeah,
right?
When shit don't break, it hurts more.
Exactly. The break is what breaks their fall. One spot from the main event of Raw, I'll just touch on briefly, was when Ricochet went off the top rope onto the table with Bronson Reed. That looked painful because the way that table collapsed, and Bronson Reed was like, it seemed like he was really struggling breathing at the end. And I don't know if that was playing on it or whether he was actually really hurt, but that spot looked really painful.
Did you see him look over at Samantha first?
He
didn't. He landed on his feet and then just went straight down on his chest onto the table. But before he did it, he gets on the ropes to go and he looks over to Samantha and goes, "I'm sorry." And then he basically bounces himself off.
I want to see that because there's always a camera as well. I wanted to see her reaction to that spot.
I'd love to see that. But it was right in his face. It was great. Yeah.
Oh, God. Right. Rax. Sorry, Neil, what was your rating for the match?
Unfortunately, I can't give it a 4 out of 5.
Ooh, okay.
But I can give it a 3.7.
3.7. Right, okay.
Just to
be
different.
It would have been 4 if it wasn't for Xavier's elbow.
It's tight.
Yeah, okay.
Rax, what are your thoughts?
It was an entertaining match. I loved it. Honestly, it was like they had all the great spots. Everyone did what was asked of them to do. It was a bit chaotic, obviously, at the beginning, where it's just like, because you're literally like looking at like what do I need to look at? And what, you know, it's just like there's so many things going on at the time. But once you get past all that and you have those little charming spots that you got on there, you know, when you got Awesome Truth kind of team up with DIY temporarily.
Yes.
is it you got Gargano doing this Sweet Chin Music, and you got the was it Ciampa?
Yeah, he did the pedigree,
but it was very different.
Like a fairy tale ending. It was,
yeah, it was a fairy tale ending. But I think it was Pat McAfee's. Well, Cole said a pedigree, and then McAfee said with some sauce on it.
Yeah,
and I love that line. It was a great fun match. I really liked it a lot. I mean, to be honest with you, I know you guys are going to probably look at me and go, oh, come on, man. I actually don't mind A Town Under. Actually, I don't mind having those kind of like heels. You know, those kind of like.
You need them in the business.
You do the job.
You got them. They do it very well. Yeah, they do it very well. And I had a thought about this. I was thinking, because I mean, they paired up with Logan Paul so many times. I mean, they need to have like a douchebag sort of like faction, honestly. You can even add Pretty Deadly to them, honestly. You know, like just have like this completely douchebag kind of faction going on, because like almost everyone is in in a faction right now. But and I think they were the right winners, in my opinion. I think that, you know, they're entertaining. Obviously, I went for a new Catch Republic, but I wasn't mad. Let's just say that. I wasn't mad at anyone. I wasn't mad at all. I don't know if it was something that Truth was doing when he was climbing up the ladder, where he was like sort of taking his time. And, you know, people just kind of egging him on to just climb. They just tell him to do it. And the crowd's losing their mind. And you see that bit where he's just right at the top? And the thing is, he's kind of under the briefcase. He's sort of under it.
I was like, why aren't you taking it? Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Because I thought something was going to happen at the last minute.
Yeah, I did.
But it was clearly him just, well, I mean, it could have been an accident taking or whatever, but I mean, he's just taking his time. But when he did just it, oh my God. Yeah. That, when I mentioned earlier about the goosebumps I was having, that was a goosebump moment for me. Definitely, 100%. And even when The Miz went up there and they had like a little hug and they're having a little chat, I want to know what they're talking to each other about. And honestly, because this is the truth, like, first WrestleMania win.
Mm-hmm.
He's never won a WrestleMania match, so I mean, to be honest with you, I hope to see him for like a long, long time. And he looks so good for his age, and he's so athletic. He's so good at what he does. He's a massive asset to the company, and you know, hopefully we see more of him, and he's not sort of weighing down his career. But yeah, definitely. So that's definitely got me in the feels there a little bit with R-Truth. I love him.
Definitely
100%.
Didn't The Miz win against Cena at WrestleMania with The Rock's interference?
Yep.
So, he got that win, but it wasn't a
clean win. He talks about that all the time.
Yeah, he mentions
that. He doesn't let us forget it.
Yeah.
And rightly so.
Damn right. Beat Cena in the main event of WrestleMania.
Double Grand Slammer.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That is true.
Uh-huh. I think it's really funny. When I came back and started watching wrestling again, what year did Shinsuke win the Royal Rumble? That was when I came back.
2018?
Yeah.
2017, 2018?
I could not stand The Miz. He just pissed me off and just wound me up the wrong way. And then I started to realise it's exactly what he's supposed to do.
Exactly,
He is just so underrated as a performer, because recently some of his matches have been awesome. And he's showing actually how good he actually is. And he's still
he had a great
match
with Gunther, didn't he?
He had a really good match with Gunther, really good.
He's still one of the best on the mic. I think in his whole thing against LA Knight, I think he was better in the promos against LA. And we know how good LA is. And I love The Miz. I love to hate him. I think he's brilliant. And all his off-camera stuff, he seems like he's a really nice guy too, which helps.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, yeah, he's definitely someone I've learned to appreciate more as I've gotten older. And, you know, you look back on the stuff like he did the skit with Bryan Danielson on SmackDown Talk and stuff like that. You know, there is a passion. And, you know, he is safe. You know, he's always around. He's very rarely injured, if at all. And he's a staple there. He is always there. He's very dependable and reliable. So,
The only time he was injured was when what's his face? The guy who does the really terrible move, the guy who does the split moonsault thing off of the ropes. Starship Pain.
Oh, John Morrison.
John Morrison, he was with John Morrison, he was injured, he had a knee issue, and he was still coming out in a wheelchair until his injury went away.
Yes.
I got there.
When he got ate by zombies.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the zombies. Oh my God, the zombies. That was so weird.
You know what? I want to actually give a little shout out to A Town Down Under, if I can, for one very simple thing. Technically, this might be a terrible shout out. It might age horribly, but I am going on a limb and believing that this was staged.
What, the gym?
There is a... Yeah.
Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt. I've done it before. That was
staged. Because, well, you know, you guys know what happened?
What, you mean the Dave Meltzer thing?
No, the Joey Swole thing.
No. Joey Swole. So, yeah. Joey Swole. He's like an influencer on TikTok, and so people send video captions of pieces of people in the gym.
About gym etiquette.
Gym etiquette, yeah.
And Waller and Theory were in the gym, and they started going off on somebody who walked past the camera while they were filming.
Okay.
And Joey Small probably took it and was like, you know, do better, be better. Just because you're WWE wrestlers, you know, that doesn't mean you can treat people like shit and all of that. And I was just like,
definitely,
I'm pretty sure this is a work. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm pretty sure this is a work.
I'm not convinced that the Joey Swole bit is a work.
No, that was real. That's real. Going off at some... they do that on purpose to get that reaction.
Did you see? Did you see Grayson Waller's response to Joey Swole?
No.
Oh my God, it's amazing. He goes off at Joey Swole and all of his followers and takes the piss. It is absolute gold. I have to find it and send it.
Oh, I'll need to have a look at that.
Amazing.
Then.
Yeah. Which made me realize. Especially from Grayson, it's definitely I love Grayson Waller. I think he's brilliant. I think he's incredibly funny. He's incredibly good on the mic. He's got so much charisma. And that rolling stunner thing he does is freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now it'll be interesting to see what they do with these tag titles, how long they hold on to them for, maybe who their next challengers are going to be. Next matchup, we've got Rey Mysterio and, well, it was supposed to be Dragon Lee versus Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar. Obviously shenanigans, and we had Andrade enter the match instead. Mm-hmm. And predictions didn't go the way most people thought they were going to. So Nick was the only person with the correct prediction for this match. Mm-hmm. We'd all gone for Dom and Santos, but Nick went for Rey and obviously Dragon Lee, but it was Andrade in the end.
Do I still get my bonus point because I predicted that Dragon Lee would get involved? Andrade would get involved.
Yeah, so I've given you half a point for that because Andrade, because you had an Andrade interference. Yeah, you had an Andrade interference. I was like, well, he did get into the match, so yeah, you're gonna get half a point for that.
It just happened on SmackDown the night before rather than
that's it. That's it. And but you also got Rey pin Santos as well.
Well, I said technically he was involved in the entire match, so that's real involvement. That's not even...
It hasn't been interference, like, definitely.
Literally, as I was watching SmackDown on the Saturday morning, I was like, this is all supposed to happen tonight. This isn't supposed to happen now. This is what I predicted.
You're too early!
It's too early. And you also had Rey pin Santos. You got the extra point there, so you... Yeah,
cracking.
You did well on that one, I have to say. Yeah. But yeah, the rest of us, nil pois. Nobody else got anything from that match. Okay. So, I was very surprised by the match and the finish. I really thought Dom and Santos were going to be standing tall at the end of this, especially with the amount of potentially face wins we were going to get in this pay-per-view. So, yeah, but the match itself, it didn't ring true a lot in terms of spots. I think the only spot was the... That was SmackDown. When they did the launch off the middle rope, was that on the pay-per-view or was that SmackDown?
Yeah, they did it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
LWO, WrestleMania.
Yeah, LWO. Yeah. So I think that's the only thing I remember from the match,
really. The other spot was Rey on Andrade's shoulders doing a crossbody.
That was good.
That was insane. That was the rating for the matchup for me just because of that spot.
That was pretty dope.
Yeah. So, but the match was fine. It, just because it didn't go the way I expected, didn't mean it was a bad match. But I just think that the build up was okay. But I don't know. There seemed to be some stuff which was lost in translation, and I don't know if I missed it because at the beginning of the week on Raw, Andrade was supposed to take out Ricochet in the Battle Royal, which was on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. But that didn't happen. And
Andrade wasn't in it, was he?
No, he wasn't in it.
But he didn't show.
No, yeah, I but assume, he didn't show.
I can't remember the exact running order of SmackDown, but had he already signed up for the WrestleMania match when the
probably I think at that point they were like, we can't maybe risk him being injured, so we'll take him out and, you know, not put him in the match.
But there were a couple of no shows in that. There was Shinsuke was advertised for it, and so was Gable.
Yeah, no, exactly. Chad was supposed to be in it, because I had Chad down to win the Battle Royal, even though I thought it was going to be on a pre-show. But obviously it was on SmackDown instead. But yet, he wasn't in it either. So some really strange things that happened on SmackDown, but which Bronson Reed won in the end. So, let's go to Neil. Rey Mysterio, Andrade, Dominic Mysterio, and Santos. What did you think?
I'm honest, I didn't really care.
Yeah.
I couldn't care. It's nothing against any of them as performers, but I think it was a match that I had no investment in. The whole LWO thing, the reason I had such little investment in it was because it was like the LWO versus who did they face?
Judgment
Day. It was always like it's like, okay, we've got the Latin good, we've got the Hispanic good guys, we need Hispanic bad guys. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, okay, we'll just run it again, just do it again.
It's 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you have like Selena Vega's there, and then Electra Lopez is there, and then Electra Lopez isn't there, and then she's back. You know, it's like, make up your mind and set the stage, you know, because the story between Santos and Rey is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the you know, the student, you know, being alongside
his mentor. Yeah.
His mentor, and then feeling betrayed by his mentor, and then, you know, turning his back on his mentor. That is brilliant, and that should have been a one-on-one match. Yeah. But having it as a tag match, like, Andrade's involvement was, he didn't like the way Santos was chatting to him, and he didn't like that Dominic was grips in his shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, no, exactly. And when he said he was going to help out Dom on Monday Night Raw, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was very strange. I don't understand why you wouldn't pull the trigger on Dom winning that match. You know, Rey beat him last year on a one-on-one. He should have pulled the trigger on Dom. The boos that would have been in that arena would have been phenomenal.
Exactly. Uh-huh. I think, and it was sort of like, you know, it took away from the it cheapened what could have been a real good moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there was no real, like, they were never in doubt of winning.
Mm-hmm.
There was no moment where it was like, oh yeah, I know that, you know, I predicted that Dom and Santos would win. But it was never, from the time the match started to the time the match ended, there was no point in time where I was like, yeah, it looks like Dom's going to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then what's your match rating? Clean.
Hmm? Yeah.
My match rating, I'm not going to be heartless, so I'll just say a 3.
Okay.
That the spot where Andrade had Rey on his shoulders, that gave it
the extra half. Yeah, fair enough. I think that's right. Rax, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, like Neil, I wasn't really invested. I didn't really care much about the match.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of felt with the whole Dom thing, it's like Dom, yeah, he's hated, but people love to, you know, hate him. They love to boo him. Mm. And he had to be on the card, and they had nothing for him.
Yeah,
and I remember there was that little tease that I think all of us got excited at one point, because he kind of squared up to Gunther, and we thought, oh my god, it's going to be Gunther and Dominic at WrestleMania. How great would it, like, the Philly crowd go nuts and apeshit over him getting just slapped left, right? So, like, you know what I mean? I thought that was the way that it could have gone, but obviously they didn't. Mm-hmm. I think that they just had to give him something to do. And they were like, oh, well, you know, Rey's, you know, in this weird sort of rivalry with Santos, just adding to the mix. It was just kind of like a throwaway kind of thing. But you know what they should have done? In my opinion, they should have had it like, I mean, it is WrestleMania, and you've got enough LWO members. You've got Legado, you know, Del Fantasma. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They should have just done like this big 10 mixed tag match.
Four match.
I didn't understand why they just did 2-on-2. Didn't make sense. Just have faction versus faction. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, and then you just end it, you know, just nip it in the bud. It's kind of a boring rivalry as well. Mm-hmm. I never really invested into it. And then obviously, you know that, I mean, it's just, I love it when wrestling, when they make it so blatantly obvious about what's going on. It's like Dragon Lee got attacked. It's like, oh, who was it? And Carly is at the scene. It's just,
yeah,
you know, it's just going to happen. You know what? Ray is like, he's such a good guy that he just literally doesn't really care that he's hurting other people's feelings or whatever. He's just constantly doing that. He chose Carlito over Santos, and now he's like choosing Dragon Lee over Carlito. It's like, Ray's at home.
Yeah.
It's in the streets.
Yeah.
You know what the funny thing is? If they play it right, it could be a thing where Carlito, because what I'd love to happen is Carlito betrays Ray, but doesn't join Santos.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'd agree with that.
And then joining Santos would make sense. Like, you see, Ray, you see what I told you? I wasn't wrong. I didn't lie about anything. I know I will never see a Rey Mysterio heel turn because the guy's like Jackie Chan. He just doesn't do bad guys. But, the idea of Santos trying to be like, come to the dark side. Look, see, when you're good, this is what happens. Yeah.
That'd be nice. I can imagine a Carlito versus Rey at SummerSlam or something like that. So, go on, Rex.
Another point, last point as well. I mean, obviously, they did it for the Philly crowd, where they had like Jason Kelsey and the other guys.
Worst luchadors ever.
Yeah. I was thinking, who are these guys? I was like, what's going on? I was like, is this someone like that they've signed? Is this like a surprise, like whatever, you know, kind of thing? It's just like these, you know, American football guys. I don't watch American football. Like, I just, you know. But I mean, obviously, it's for the Philly crowd, so I get it. For them, you know, they lost their nut. But it was just, I mean, I would say, like, I'm going to be harsh. I'm going to say two out of five.
2 out of 5. All right, fine. Nick, what have you got? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I'll give it 2.5 out of 5 because it was just there. It was a match that happened. I started watching wrestling again at Money in the Bank last year, and I have seen this same match 4 or 5 times with this same storyline, with this same cast of characters.
Yeah,
numerous times since I started watching this again, and at first I was invested in it. And now I'm not, because we just keep repeating the same storyline and we're just shifting the characters. I mean, I can't believe we're now doing the Santos story with Carlito. And yeah, I'm sure they'll change it up a little bit, but it's the same story.
Yeah,
and we did it with Dom previously. We just keep going around in circles, and it's like we need to give Ray something different to do.
Yeah, agreed. Ray's very terrible. Maybe they'll put Ray in like a tag team with Andrade, and maybe they'll go for the SmackDown titles, something like that.
Don't know. We need to just change it up now. It's getting boring.
Yeah, agree.
But it was a fine match. I had a couple of good spots, but it just happened.
Yeah, there's a 2.5 from me as well. Alex, your thoughts?
So interestingly, I actually had this quite highly rated, which means when I was watching it, I was just enjoying myself. But you guys have now pointed out all the plot holes in the story.
Destroyed it.
Oh crap!
We're bitching about wrestling.
We're bitching about wrestling. Yeah, where's all the positive from that? Funnily enough, I did predict Rey Mysterio to win, so thank you. I enjoyed the match because it was mental. I like crazy spots and I like mental stuff. And there was obviously the big jump, which I love. I've now seen it 4 or 5 times. I think it's brilliant. I think Andrade and Rey just wrestle really well together as a team. If that's something we go. So as an actual wrestling match.
Yeah,
bereft of story, it was very good.
Yeah,
but you guys have actually completely outlined all the plot holes. So I had it as a 7 out of 10 by my system, but okay, I will go back down to it. So I'll give it a 3.7, only 3.7? Because the 0.7 is purely because the match was actually a good match. If you take everything.
Some of the wrestling was actually, to be fair,
because you're not going to have a bad match with those guys in the ring.
No,
they are four of the best, very capable.
Purely the fact that I feel like I've seen this exact match numerous times already. That's my negative. But if it was the first time I'd seen it, great, fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just old hat.
You're right. You are right. Like,
all right, next match we've got Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso, brother versus brother. This was a big letdown for me. Yeah, this was a big letdown for me. I mean, I knew it was going to be a super kick match, but
yeah,
I didn't feel the story in this match. I didn't feel the passion. I didn't, there was no narrative throughout the match. It's, yeah, it was a big letdown for me. And, you know, I expected Jay to win, and he did. And that's fine. I expected a solo interference. I expected something to happen during the match, after the match, but it just didn't. And it's just something that happened. So yeah, I was highly disappointed. I gave this one 1 out of 5. Just, it wasn't for me. So Rax, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, massive letdown. It was a massive letdown. I was like, you know what I mean? I was actually really like, when I heard that they were going to do Jay versus Jimmy, I thought, oh man, yeah, this is like, it was one of the matches on the card that I was really wanting to watch.
Yeah.
I was really up for it. I was well up for it. And then it just turned into this, it was just a mess. I just didn't get into it. It's just boring. It was just, yeah. I just, you know, there was no, like, nothing. I don't even remember much from the match. I mean, I know that they build up all these, like, brother versus brother matches and all that, mm-hmm. with the exception of Bret Hart and Owen Hart, like mm-hmm. all the other matches have been just, you know, toilet really. Mm-hmm. And it just reminded me of when Goldust and Stardust, well, Cody and Stardust, when they had this huge match together at Fastlane. Well, it wasn't a huge one, but I mean, it was supposed to be. I mean, it was supposed to be a big deal. It was just, mm-hmm. it just kind of had the same vibe. It just didn't really. It was like the build up was there, but it was just no payoff. And
yeah.
I don't know if. I don't think it's, I don't see it being ended. I think it's still going to carry on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, if there's a payoff at the end of it, great. But I mean, I would have thought, I would have assumed that at WrestleMania, that would have been the payoff of it. You know yeah. what I mean? Yeah. I mean, Jay and Jimmy, I think they both play, you know, great, you know, for each of their characters, what they do. And even the promo package before it.
I liked it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was very good. But just, it was a huge letdown. I mean, it was just, I was kind of like surprised by how mundane definitely. And boring it was. It was really, definitely. Yeah, it was a letdown.
I got more out of the Royal Rumble spot number 1 and 2 than I did this match.
Yeah.
There we go.
100%. Yeah.
Alex, what were your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, I was disappointed. I was disappointed to the point where I actually went back and rewatched it to just check that I hadn't missed something.
Right. Okay.
Because I'm like, because I watched it. I just remember it kind of just passing me by, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it started promising because it's had a hot start where Jay jumped straight out of the ring at him. And I thought, all right, they're going to go. And it should have been like the AJ LA Knight match where they just beat the shit out of each other for the whole match.
Yes.
And they didn't. And it was slow. And you don't have these two guys who are high flying, fast moving guys. And they had a slow paced match. They're not Roman. Mm-hmm. You know, Roman can pull off a slow-paced match, but these two just decided to try and make it this long epic. But that's not what we wanted from them. We just wanted to watch them batter each other, especially because it's their dream as well. There's been interviews with them in the past where it's like, we want to have our own fight at Mania.
Yes.
And I was properly excited for this match, and it just had no payoff. I was going for Jay for the win anyway because I didn't think I don't think it needs to go on. I didn't think it needed to have Jimmy win and then in a screwy way and then for it to go on for longer. It needed to be one and done, big payoff, big match. Jay comes across as the hero and it just kind of fizzled out. Their involvement in the main event on night two was more exciting.
I would have liked a moment a little bit similar to where Shawn Michaels did to Ric Flair, where like Jay, you know, maybe there was almost like a reconnection, but then he just turns around and says, I'm sorry, and then puts him out, you know, but they were just...
They tried it,
but... and obviously then Jimmy kind of backstabs him, but... Yeah, exactly. I just didn't buy it. I just didn't feel it in that match.
No.
Nick, did you buy it?
1.5. No, not at all. I can't write, and I'd sum it up with a quote. I know I can't remember if I saw the quote on our WhatsApp group. I can't remember where I saw it. I can't credit anyone, but... It was, how can two brothers have such little chemistry in the ring?
Two twins have such little chemistry
in the ring. Because it was just like, what am I watching? It was just like completely half-assed. Didn't get it, didn't grasp it. And again, that like you said, Alex, the only moment that was like, oh, is this it? Is this the exciting bit? Was the fake out. And for one second thought it was legit. I'd have been more surprised if he'd legitimately gone, sorry, you don't pin me or something like that. But
yeah,
it just didn't. I think it was just, and again, I think part of it is down to how big we all thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I think maybe it's our own expectations. You go in with such high expectations.
But there was, apart from the bad fake out, there was nothing I can remember about that match either.
Yeah.
Realistically. I couldn't even remember what you're saying about the start of it and jumping out of the ring. I couldn't remember. Mm-hmm. Honestly.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of it.
Yeah.
I'd go two out of five.
All right, fine. Neil, your thoughts. Did it make Jimmy look particularly weak this match?
Problem is it did, but here's the problem for me, right? Jey Uso is significantly better than Jimmy Uso. I know they're twins, but if you actually watch, because I've like, the Usos are my point blank period favorite tag team.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching them since the face paint, right?
Yeah.
I've been a fan of the Usos since the face paint days. And from the moment they ditched the whole face paint and they came out as in like day one-ish, Jey has always been like a step above, but you never, it was never really something that you'd notice until they were separated. Because once they were separated, you could see that, like, Jimmy is a lot heavier than Jey. And he, like, when they're both doing the super kick, it's like, okay, cool. It's the two of them doing the moves and they feed off of each other really well. The chemistry is perfect when they are a team.
Yeah.
But when they are individuals, you can see that Jey has a lot more than Jimmy. Now, maybe it's because Jimmy has suffered with so many injuries, but it's just like, you know, you think of it like since Jey has been on Raw, he's had matches with Gunther, he's had matches with Drew McIntyre, and at what point did you look at his matches and think he's outmatched? He's like, he's a step behind this person.
Yeah.
You might have thought, okay, he's not going to win for whatever various reasons, but he was never outclassed.
No, but I just don't think he's probably at that stage where he could carry somebody else in a match. So as much, so, you know, he's been in with some really good names like Gunther and Drew McIntyre, who can also make him look good.
Yeah,
but that's the thing.
Jimmy doesn't have that capability.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think Jimmy could. I think if you had a match of Drew McIntyre versus Jimmy, I think it'd be over in about three minutes at the maximum.
Yeah,
and that's including intros.
Yeah.
I'd love to see some of the live matches, some of the dark matches, though, because I know in a lot of these, in the WWE Live, Jimmy's had a big thing going with LA Knight, done a lot of cage matches.
Oh, right. Oh, really? Okay.
So, I think the vast majority of the time it's been LA Knight winning them, because it's the face at the end of the day, isn't it? But I'd be really interested, because I think you're right, Neil, we've not seen Jimmy really have a go at anything singles driven. He's always been part of the tag team. He's not had that push. He's been the comic relief to the to the bloodline. And don't get me wrong, he's done a fantastic job of it. Mm-hmm. But it would be interesting to see him, you know, going solo. You know, no pun intended. But but I'd be intrigued to maybe, you know, see some reviews of those matches or see, you know, even like, you know, YouTube footage just to see what they're like. Because I'm intrigued as to how good he is, you know, in a singles match.
Yeah, definitely. Neil, what's your score?
As much as it pains me to say it, two.
Two, yeah. Okay. Nick did point out that the match was sponsored by Dude Wipes. We're watching it as well.
Yeah, which was it? Quite was something. You put it in the group chat where it was Nick.
So Nick's mentioned it, but then Ryan posted a tweet he saw, which said, "Dude Wipes is sponsoring a match between two men whose father was known for using stink face."
That's genius.
That's a level of corporate synergy we can support. So yeah, fair enough.
Some questionable sponsorships on night one.
And Dude, there was. Yeah, again in night two.
Yeah, Dude Wipes were on the. It wasn't like a match sponsor, but they were on loads of the turnbuckles.
On the turnbuckles, yeah. Okay. So I think, in terms of that match, Neil failed to score in that one. He had Jimmy down. The rest of us,
I had Jimmy down, you had Jimmy as well.
Yeah. So Ryan Rax and myself, we picked up points. But I wanted a bonus point for a Jimmy and Solo beatdown because I thought it might happen, but it didn't. So then we've got.
I would like to point out that I did say that if the match happened on night one, I thought Jay would lose. But if the match happened on night two, then Jay would win. So even though
I was wrong, that's what I had as well.
We went so that's still wrong.
still wrong though. Try and get out of it now, Neil. You're not having that.
Yeah, it was night one and Jay won. So yeah.
Right. Don't worry. I'm not worried about that, right?
I'm taking you down with me, Neil. Like.
All right. So then we had Jay Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi versus Damage Control. The tag championships obviously not on the line. Mm-hmm. And this was quite straightforward from everyone in terms of predictions. We all had Belair, Cargill, Naomi to win. Mm-hmm. We all had it via pinfall. The breaking ones on this one. So the Rex predicted Cargill was going to pin Dakota Kai. So he got an extra bonus point there. Mm-hmm. But the rest of us didn't get a bonus point. So we had the right result, right? Same outcome, pinfall, but Rex got the right prediction. So mm-hmm. I'll come to you, Rex, with the bonus point. How did you find the match?
Again, not one of my favorites. It was okay. It was just there. To me, it just I kind of felt like the build up wasn't really well either kind of thing. I was kind of hoping for like maybe a women's tag title match kind of thing probably Belair and Jade. I guess it probably would worked out better and have them over. But I mean, it was generally okay. I mean, obviously the match kind of felt like it was a showcase for Jade. Jade Cargill. So I mean, for me, it was generally okay. I didn't mean for this to happen as well, but I think it was one of those things where I just kept dipping in and out of the match. Like I wasn't really invested in it in that much. I didn't really care much about it, so I sort of dipped in and out. I don't really remember any highlights of it besides Jade picking up the win basically. So I mean, that was literally the only thing I could take away from it. I mean, it's cool to see, like, you know, having these three, you know, strong women together. So, I mean, whether they're going to be a faction or not, I don't think. I'm sensing, like, a Bianca Belair heel turn at some point and have them probably have a blow-off match at SummerSlam or whatnot. I have no idea. But I generally thought it was an okay match. It was just, like I said, I wasn't really invested in it. I kind of dipped in and out. I was there pretty much to see the win, Jade winning. And she did. So I mean, it was just which was going to happen anyway. So
yeah, I thought she was going to have a big spot in the match. I didn't expect her to get the pin. I know, sort of like Neil did, he predicted that they were really going to push her, but I thought Bianca was still top. And like Nick and I think we're on the same page, saying that she was in all the promotional material, and that we thought she would have a bigger involvement in WrestleMania than she did. So yeah, it was quite surprising actually that her WrestleMania just kind of bypassed from where she was previously. But you know, maybe there's going to be setting up between her and Bayley, you know, for a match moving forward. So we'll see. What was your score, Rax?
Harsh. Two.
Two. All right. Yeah. Cool. Alex, your thoughts on the match?
Yeah, I agree with Rax. It was kind of just there. It was a showcase for Jade Cargill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's back to, you know, I think it's been talked about quite a lot that she's quite limited in what she can do. I mean, I didn't know, I'd never heard of her before she came over from AEW.
No, I hadn't.
But so I don't know about her background. I don't know where she's come from, but I've just seen stuff from the miserable pillocks on the internet who just go, she can only do one move, which is fine, I guess.
Probably correct.
Probably correct. But then she's got the class of Naomi and Bianca to back her up. And I mean, for me, I'm a big Bianca fan. As far as I'm concerned, she's the best female professional wrestler out there, probably one of the best period out there. I'm a big fan of hers, but yeah, this was just to big up Cargill, and because they haven't got anybody lined up to do anything with those tag titles, but they had to have the tag champions at the event. So for I think the match was good fun. So taking away story and all that kind of stuff, I think the match was good fun. So for me, it's 2.5, so slap bang in the middle.
Cool. All right. Neil, thoughts?
It's a 2.5 for me because there wasn't anything to really talk about. There was nothing.
It was kind of your toilet break, match, wasn't it?
It was just, I mean, to be honest with you, I say it's a 2.5, but there is something that happened that actually made me want to take it away from 2.5, which was the intro situation. They came out. I didn't like that. I'd like.
Oh, the fact they came out all together.
Yeah, because I was like, this is showcase mode, right?
Mm-hmm.
And granted, there was a significant effort, even from like SmackDown, to highlight the three of them. And basically, the three of them were the like, then, now, forever.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it looked like to me. But at the same time, I'm like, they should have had their own individual entrances.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is like, you know, you got Damage Control who are coming out as one.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have the time to pull out three entrances.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Yeah, all right. Well, Nick, what was your scores? What were your thoughts?
Three. I've gone with a three. I think I appreciated the effort behind the entrances, but I completely agree with you, Neil. It's like when it's like Naomi's entrance was literally cut short. You sit there and you wait for it to build up, and then the dance, and it literally cut out and got into Bianca's music at that moment. My daughter was gutted because she was literally up, ready to start going, and then it just cut the music on her. I think the match was. It kind of was just there. It clearly was a showcase for Jade Cargill. But I think that match, and even the match that we've had on Raw after Mania, demonstrates that Jade's not there yet. She's just a full-on Goldberg squash match against Chelsea Green this weekend, yesterday. But I think it shows how good Bianca and Naomi are, because they helped put her over in that match. And it's not to take away from Jade, you know, she's doing great things, she's getting better, but I think it was just a testament to how good they are, to how good Jade looked in that match, and the finish of it as well. But I'd give it 2.5 to 3.
I'd give it 2.5, and to be honest, I understand why, that, you know, they want to push Jade, because I think, you know, they probably signed her for decent money because she was a big star at AEW, but she's been sat in development for ages. She did the Royal Rumble, but then nothing since. And because it annoyed me that she just signed to SmackDown and then they stick her on a match on Raw. It's like, no, it's down your brand. Stop pushing her where she doesn't need to be pushed. She's not on Raw. So
they're just trying to showcase her everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
She's going to, I think they're lining her up to take the belt off Rhea. I think they will. I think they're going to set her up to be the one to take the belt off Rhea at SummerSlam.
Yeah, there's literally no one on the Raw roster I can think of that can be a threat to Rhea unless it's Jade.
We're going to have
Jade on SmackDown. So they probably have to change that with the draft, right?
I think the draft's going to happen. I think she's moving up to Raw, and I think that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, let's move on. So we had the Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus Sami Zayn. Nil pois across the board. Nobody had Sami Zayn pulling this off. And it hit home for me when it was going to happen at the intro, when he's with his wife and his kid before he moves out. And then Kevin Owens is there. I'm like,
it was Kevin for me.
Yeah. I don't see this build up without him actually taking it now. And so that convinced me a little bit. And there are some really great spots in the match. And as much as I didn't feel Sami was the right person to do it, I thought the way the match went and how it was executed was good. And credit to him. And, you know, it was a good win. And we'll have to see, you know, the only reason that it was fine from an ending point of view for me is because we know Gunther is going to move on to bigger and better things, you know, moving on to that title picture. I think the reason why a lot of us thought we were going to go for him is just because we didn't see Sami as the person that was going to maybe to be the person who beat him. But I guess it all started with it was the complete Rocky story, wasn't it? Because they did the Rocky 3 homage, you know, in terms of that on Raw, him training with Chad and, you know, saying he was afraid and then, you know, going through with the fight and coming out on top. That was the complete, like Rex said, the group Rocky reference throughout this match all the way to the end, him taking it home and, you know, Adrian, you know, with his wife at the end. So it was kind of the way you could see it happening from when that entrance was happening for me. But yeah, solid match. And I think I gave this one a 4. I thought it was really entertaining. That was a 4 for me. Neil, coming to you, what was your thoughts and ranking? sort of rating.
The match, I thought it was a very, very, very good match. Like, I have to give it its due. And in that respect, I give it like a 3.5. Mm-hmm. But as wild as it sounds, the thing I cared about most happened before the match. Okay. It was when Chad Gable let him go, and it was like, remember, you owe me. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. You owe me a favor. And yeah. All I thought it was going to happen on Raw, mm-hmm. where it's going to be like at a segment on Raw, you just see Chad or Chad and Sammy. I mean, I just thought it would be like a match, Chad and Sammy in the ring. And it was like, this is a wild favor. And it's like, look, I told you, right? You owe me one. And I'm expecting that. You wrestle great, but I'm a great wrestler. And then they just lock up. And then that would be like the end of that episode of Raw.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to see it. I need to see Chad Gable go ding, ding. I need to see it.
Yeah. Okay. Rax, what were your thoughts on your score?
Oh, man, I absolutely love this match, honestly. Yeah. It's like, I literally was like on tenterhooks throughout the whole match. I was like, I mean, just like everyone, I didn't even think that, you know, it was going to be possible at all. But then they kept teasing that little thing. It's like, will he do it? Will he not? And then it's that, like I mentioned about the whole Rocky theme of it all.
Yeah.
I mean, his wife obviously being in the back, he's, you know, so basically his wife is Adrian, right? You got Kevin Owens, who's like Paulie. You've got Chad Gable as Mickey, like, oh, you bum. Get out of here. You know what I mean? It's just, it was just all there. And it's just like, Sammy is like one of the last people you would probably expect to dethrone Gunther. And I don't even think I can think of a match where Gunther's been in where it's been a bad match. Like, I think he, do you know what I mean? So anything he is in, he is an instant draw for me. So it's like, and I mean, Sammy's great too, don't get me wrong. But I mean, it's just, obviously Sammy may have had a few matches here and there where it may not have been, you know, great. But I mean, Gunther, he's always top. And it's just, but the thing is, obviously everyone was disappointed in a sense because they wanted Gable to be in that position instead of Sammy. And when I was rethinking about it, and I was rethinking about how, like, Gable, the whole element of Gable would have fit in right there as well. It's literally the same thing you could have done with Gable. Do you know what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, he's got his wife, you know, he's got, you know, he's had matches with Gunther in the past. I think it would have made more sense because he's had matches in the past where he's beaten by count out, I think it was. Yeah. He's always that close kind of thing. He would have been, But the thing is like, obviously, I'm sensing a Chad Gable heel turn at some point. That's what I'm hoping to see. See it.
Yeah, I thought it was going to happen during or after the match. Yeah, that's what I predicted, but it didn't.
And one more Rocky reference. I mean, if you saw on Monday Night Raw when you saw Sammy with his t-shirt.
Loved it.
So instead of Adrian, I did it. He's got his wife's name, Khadija. I did it. So it's definitely. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I was on tenterhooks throughout the whole thing.
Cool. What score are you giving it?
Oh, 4. I got to give it 4. I can't give it a whole 5. I can't give a match a whole 5. I can't do that. I'm not like...
Yeah. All right. 4. Nick, thoughts and score?
4 out of 5. It sounds like I'm not excited by it. I was. It's just, it did what it was, what I thought it was going to be. You knew it was going to be a great match. Gunther doesn't do bad matches. And Sammy's great as well. It was a massive surprise, obviously, for Sammy to win. It shouldn't have been Sammy. It should have been Gable. I just don't know what we're going to do with Gunther now. That's my negative. And I get we're going to put him against Cody, but they're not going to take that title off Cody just yet. Don't think he'll have it long, but they're not going to take it off him just yet. So I'm just, what are they going to do? I assume we're going to have some sort of feuds up there at the top end of the roster, but not quite at Cody yet. But that's my only negative.
Okay. I think Gunther, you know, he'll have a little bit of time off. And then do a bit of a comeback.
Just a baby, hasn't he?
The fact that he's been champion for like over 666 days, so I think that he definitely deserves some time off. So even if it's just a month or so before he comes back, I can see that happening.
Hold on, did you just say Gunther's title reign was 666?
Yeah, it was 666.
Yeah, it was 666.
Yeah, and because on Monday Night Raw, Sami Zayn said something after that, like, because of the reference, because of being the devil thing, he said something in I don't know if it's Islam or Jewish or whatever, or French or whatever it is he said, but yeah, he made a reference to it being 666. Okay, so then we have the main event of night one, The Rock and Roman Reigns.
You didn't do me.
You didn't do Alex.
Oh, sorry, Alex. No, Alex, sorry.
I haven't got much more to say on it.
Talk to me about Gunther and Sammy.
Because everyone else has covered it really, really well, but you've got two of the best doing an amazing match. I think there's much more to say about that. For me, I had Sammy predicted because you don't do a Rocky theme, if Rocky's not going to win.
We're not seeing Rocky. So Rocky won.
Yeah, exactly. they did Rocky 3 though, so it's fine.
They did Rocky 3,
which is my favorite Rocky movie. So that was fine. The other thing I have is the El Generico Brainbuster was
amazing.
Yes.
Beautiful.
I thought it was a botch, and then it wasn't until I saw the replay I was like, oh my god, that was amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah. But the thing is, the good thing is Gunther doesn't look weak because Gunther had Sammy beat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had him beat. And it was his arrogance that got away from him. And it's a departure from what he's always done. He's always been clinical and finished the job. Yes. But he had him beat and he wanted to rub it in and he lost because he got arrogant. So I agree. I think he should go away for about 3 months, actually. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of forget about him. And then it won't be after Cody. It will be after the heavyweight championship. And it will be after Drew. Because if Drew wins it, Clash at the Castle... comes out at the end of Clash of the Castle.
Yeah, that could be nice.
That just popped into my head. So yeah, for me, that's a easy four out of five. Easy.
Five. Nice. All right. Right, so now we will go on to the main event. We're an hour and 25 minutes in. We've only just come into the end of night one. So
should have been a two-parter.
A two-part review. So the big match, everyone had the results correct. We all went for Rock and Reigns because... what would be the point if it wasn't a bloodline match on night two? We all had via pinfall. And so some of the separating. So I had The Rock pinning Cody and Neil did as well. Ryan did. Nick went for Seth. But Rax didn't because, again, he only sent his through. So he didn't cover that. So we added a few more bits. But I thought it was a great match. I thought The Rock was, great. I think he delivered, and there's some really great segments in this. It told a story. There was a little bit of miscommunication, which we thought about, where the Roman hit Rock with the spear, but obviously it didn't cost him.
Didn't go where I thought it would go, though.
Yeah, and I was quite surprised at how The Rock pinned Cody. People's elbow took him out, clean win. So I was a little bit surprised at how clean that that was. But there was no interference from the bloodline. We didn't get anything from that, no Sellers, no Jimmy, and I respected it for that. In a sense, it was literally just a 2-on-2, but The Rock did show his dominance. He told the referee, don't you count or you're fired. And I absolutely loved that, and that was spot on. And they lashed out a beating. And The Rock said he was going to did what he was going to do, and that was the right decision. So for me, I really enjoyed this match. It kind of lived up to my expectations of what it was going to be, and that there was no disappointment for me. So I actually gave this a 4.5. Yeah, it delivered for me. So Alex, I'll come to you first this time, so I don't miss you out. What were your thoughts?
Already forgetting about me. I've only just started. I've got written down here. Just great storytelling. And that's what it was. It just told the story exactly the way, quite a bit of this WrestleMania was, I don't want to say predictable because that makes it sound bad, but it just followed the story arc the way the story arc should have been followed, with no pointless deviations. And I massively respect that, because when the old man was in charge, it would just randomly something stupid would happen and it wouldn't make any sense and you'd have plot holes for days.
That's right. You don't mind it finishing how you think it is if it's delivered and executed in the right way, because you don't have your disappointment. There are times for shock value, but there are times to deliver as what the story should dictate to get a fulfillment. So,
I think I said this before, the Rock performed brilliantly, which I was really happy to see. It was funny, actually. My wife watched with me when he got blown up beating up Jinder Mahal, and she was like, there's no way that man's having a match. Look at him. He's tired already. There's no way he can have a proper match. So when I said that it gone to a tag match, like, oh, he'll hardly be in it, and that he absolutely surpassed any of my expectations of what he'd do. Mm-hmm. Roman also. I mean, Roman always looks amazing, but he looked even more amazing. Looked even more jacked. And I hope it was just through creatine and protein powder.
Well, you know what? I have to say, Michael Cole pointed out something great. He said, you know, when they were like, oh, you know, look how good The Rock looks, look how good Roman looks. And he said, yeah, but when you ain't wrestled a match in 3 months, of course you're going to look good.
Yeah. But on the contrary to that, and again, the great selling at the end, Roman looked beat at the end.
Yes.
Rock was standing tall. Roman looked destroyed despite the spear. It was funny. I thought there'd be something like a spear, and then I saw the setup for the spear. I saw Cody standing in front of The Rock, and I'm like, best off to the side. This is going to happen. Yeah. But they didn't have any sort of yelling at each other, and they just
that's what I was a little bit surprised about. That there wasn't any anger or friction between the two.
And it will, when The Rock comes back eventually, because he's going to come back after he's finished filming whatever movie this is, that's what's going to lead to Rock Roman in probably WrestleMania next year. So that's it, and this is the whole thing where we've been begging for this for a long time with WWE, which is long-term storylines. Storylines where they build and they build, and it's just brilliant. So yeah, no, I'm going for a 4.2, just because it can just edge out the Sammy match.
Okay, cool. Nick, thoughts?
I'm going for 4, and that's not to be derogatory against it. I think it was a great match, fantastic match. It did everything I thought it would do. It did everything I thought it would do perfectly. It didn't exceed my expectations though, I expected it to be phenomenal, and it was. But I think it's looking back now and seeing night twos that went above and beyond, and it just makes me think that this one was absolutely spot on, absolutely perfect. But it just did what it needed to do, but in an absolutely fantastic way. But I don't really know what more to say. I think it did have a lot of predictability, but it's not a bad thing, as Alex said. It set the story where we wanted it to take the story, and that's it. Great match, great spots, spot on ending. Rock bottom, people's elbow. That's it. What more can you want? It sounds like I'm putting it down, but literally it just gave
us. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Absolutely cracking match.
Yeah.
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. Rax, what are you saying?
4 out of 5 for me. I thought it was great. Honestly, I loved it. I will say as well, like, this whole storyline with the bloodline and the match that they had, everybody deserves their flowers, man, honestly. Honestly. And that's including Paul Heyman as well. Like, literally everyone there that night. I mean, even Mama Rhodes. She was involved. Oh, yeah. Like, you know, but the thing is, The Rock, I mean, and Neil mentioned this in a few podcasts ago, where he's like, this is the best version of a heel Rock that we've seen.
Oh, yes, and absolutely. 100%.
I completely agree with when Neil said that, definitely. It's just, I mean, the storytelling and of it, I mean, the length, it was a long-ass match, though. it was a long-ass match, but...
Longer than I expected, especially when they're going to be wrestling the second night. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it was a long match, but... I mean, the build-up to everything, honestly, it was perfect, you know, to me. I think that with The Rock, the funny thing is, like, with The Rock, because, I mean, The Rock is The Rock, right? And he's obviously, like, a massive shareholder of, like, TKO. The guy just comes out with his own belt.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I love that. The people's belt.
He just comes out with a belt, you know, whatever, and, like... I mean, there's no real value to it. It's just the fact that he has one. It's just kind of like, oh, Roman's gone, so I want one too. You know, kind of thing. I'll make one myself.
I'm the boss. I'll do what I want.
I'll do what I want as well. But I mean, it's just like, it's so insane. It's like his entrance to...
Magic.
Oh, man. It's like literally the best entrance I've seen in like a long time.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, in terms of the storytelling and everything like that with Seth involved, Cody, I mean, it's just
I kind of saw the match as an appetizer. Do you know what I mean? So it's it's definitely the appetizer to the main course, and then the sweet victory at the end. You know what I mean? It's just it set it up perfectly, I think. So and obviously there was no doubt we're going to see The Rock and Light 2. But it was a great match. I mean, I liked it. Obviously, it takes a little while for I mean, if you don't really watch wrestling, obviously it can be a bit of a bore, I would say, like if you're not really into it. But we're already invested into the story, so for us, we're just like, we're kind of like chomping at the bits for this to see how this turns out. So I mean, you know, so yeah, it was a great match. I mean, but I mean, I don't tend to give a lot of things like 10 out of 10 or 5 out of 10, so I can't do that.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, you know, all right. I'm like Dave Meltzer, you know.
Okay, well, cool. Have we covered it? Neil, you haven't given your thoughts, have you?
No,
well,
he has not.
I am completely in sync with Nick. It's a 4 out of 5 match because it did everything perfectly, but there was no extra, there was nothing extra to it. I mean, it's when I said there was nothing extra to it, even there were little things that had slight inconsistencies. So when The Rock pulled out the weightlifting belt, it was clean again. Like,
yeah,
I get
it's supposed
it,
to be the same belt with the blood on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just clean. Right. And I thought, oh, that was slightly disappointing. Cause in my head, I was like, you're going to take that belt that's got the blood on it. And you're going to put little ink blots on it to deepen that red to make it stand out more
when
it makes an appearance at WrestleMania, and it didn't happen. Although one thing I have to say is right now, I think it's between Cody, Dominic Mysterio, and Ricochet for who takes the best bumps, because when Rock hit Cody with that belt, oh man, it was like God clapping for some.
Yeah, wasn't there a moment in the 3-on-3 where Bianca Belair whipped someone with her hair and you had a big crack?
Oh my God, that noise!
Yes,
Asuka, yeah, it was
like.
Yeah,
you know what it sounds like when she whips her hair and hits an opponent? It sounds like she's doing it in an empty church.
That's I thought they added a sound effect. I was like, how can that actually be something that happens?
I mean,
surely
that's got to be a DQ, though. I mean, you're sort of like using well, you know what I mean? Yeah. But no one ever really
using it as a weapon.
It's part of her body.
Yeah. I know, but come on, man. But also, when that time when she whipped Becky Lynch right in the abdomen.
Yes. Yeah. I hear what you guys are saying. Yeah, it delivered, but maybe just didn't have that extra little bit of something that you weren't expecting. So
we didn't need that extra little bit of something either. No, that's not to say it needed that extra bit.
No, it's not to say, but yeah,
did it was just exactly as expected.
All right. So at the end,
one true negative I will say the match had at the end was. When the match was over, Cody not looking at The Rock and not looking at Roman, not being able to look at them and see them looking at him with like that smirk, that sneer / smile, that was a moment that was a missed opportunity.
The camera angle was
exactly the same as last year's WrestleMania with him
and that's when you knew
them on the stage.
Yeah, and that's when you knew for a fact that tomorrow night Cody's getting the belt.
Okay, so at the end of night one, the scores are as follows. We had Rax in fifth place, followed by Neil in fourth place. Then
no way
with 10 points. Yeah, so Rax with 9, Neil with 10. With 10.5, we had Nick. And then we had myself and Ryan on 12. So that was the end of night one.
That Infinity War got you feeling a little fresh right now, don't it?
Yeah. I told you, new era, my friend. I'm coming for you. That is it for part one of our WrestleMania XL review covering night one. Make sure you check back for part two of our WrestleMania XL review where we cover night 2 Endgame. and find out who was our prediction champion. Please make sure you hit that like and subscribe, and don't forget to hit that bell to get notified. You can check out the video version of this podcast on YouTube and Spotify, and the audio podcast is available on any major podcast platform. I'm your host, Kenan, and until next time, peace out.